sounding off. Call in now. 715-845-2155. WSAU feedback on AM 550, FM 99.9, WSAU.
All right, it's time now to get a little serious about the program. We got somebody with honor and distinction in the house, Mr. Sean Duffy, our congressman. Woot woot. Welcome back to the program, my friend.
Hey, thanks, Seth. I have Tom in the, through the window going, where? Honor and distinction? What's going on? I don't see it.
I can't hear you. There you go. You got to hit the right button.
Obviously something different today.
Yes.
Yeah.
What, you didn't think my Friday guest was honor and distinction?
No, but you obviously weren't talking about yourself.
So no, absolutely not. No. No class, no style. That's not me. All right, last time we talked to you, we had the honor of talking to you on the phone. You didn't want to stop by the studio or whatever.
Now stuck in D.C.
We were talking about the bill you were introducing as far as getting financial companies to have some responsibility with the information that they were gathering on our credit card purchases. You were encouraging us to watch C-SPAN that day, which I hate to tell you this. I kind of missed it. I don't know what happened. I put it on my DVR.
I don't know how you could miss C-SPAN. Yeah, so what we I had the CFPB, the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau.
Yeah.
It's a new agency that was created in Dodd-Frank. It has a great name, but they are doing some things that are outrageous, number one. But number two, they're really powerful.
Mm-hmm.
There's no accountability, even through their financing,
mm-hmm.
Through the Congress, which means they're not accountable to the American people. So I had a reform bill that would, one, give more control to Congress, make it a more bipartisan board, more accountable. But also what they're doing is they're collecting virtually every credit card in America. They're collecting the information and data off those transactions.
And Tom's very, very worried because he makes a lot of purchases on the Internet, if you know what I'm saying.
Right.
And so Tom's a little concerned about, you know, people knowing.
I've always said if somebody wants to steal my credit card information, have at it, because there isn't a whole lot left on there to steal if they are interested in ripping me off.
Yeah, if he got his identity stolen, it would only improve his credit rating.
They throw it back. Yeah.
But you think about it, when your government has your credit card transactions and information, they have your phone records, it does fundamentally change your relationship with your government. And so what we did is said, if you're here to protect consumers, which you say you are, ask them for their permission before you take their credit card mm-hmm. data. And I'm one who wants to make sure these agencies have good information to make good rules. So I'm not one who says they shouldn't have any information, but they should sample,
mm-hmm.
Just like you do in politics. You take a small little sample, you can get a good representation of
sure.
the whole. They're taking all of the information, all of your credit card information, and holding it for 12 years. So we had a reform package that would have addressed a lot of those issues. It passed with flying colors on the House floor. Mostly Republicans, but we had 10 or 11 Democrats who joined with us. So
oh, good.
It was a bipartisan vote.
Okay.
Now we got to wait for someone in the Senate to pick up the flag and start running.
All right. Any hopes? Anybody that you got you're leaning on?
Yeah, we've been working with a few, and I think we might get a bill introduced in the House with Harry Reid over there. I'm not sure how far it'll go. We might just be teeing ourselves up for if we take control of the Senate this November. Yeah, we'll have a lot more ability to drive a package through and put it on the president's desk.
Your critics would say that this is a way for you to weaken the ability of this organization to do its work down the road.
And I've heard that. But when you say you get your funding through Congress and not through the Federal Reserve, listen, agencies all get their money through Congress. I mean, that's important. When you have one director as opposed to a bureau of five, or a commission of five people. This was the Democrats' original idea in the House. This was Barney Frank's idea. And to make sure they're not taking our financial information at such large volumes, I think this just makes sense, especially with what's going on with the NSA. So it doesn't weaken them, doesn't inhibit their mission to protect consumers, but it makes them more accountable to the American people. And this is just a Democrat tactic to go, listen, if you want to reform this agency, we think everything was perfect in Dodd-Frank, and we don't want you to have any reform. And it's become political instead of going, hey, let's look at good reform to agencies to make them
function better. And like we talked about, if there's any hope of curbing back the intrusion of the government collecting data on us, it's going to have to be done incrementally on smaller issues like this. You cannot attack the NSA data collection head on and have that be your first issue of reform. It's not going to happen. I truly believe, and this is very skeptical, But I truly believe if the court battles that are in process right now come back and say the NSA cannot collect the cell phone and other email data on us that they're doing now, it is not going to change their technique. They're going to continue to do it under the table, just like they've done it up until this point.
Yeah, listen, what frightens me is you have government saying, listen, we need all this information on you to protect you.
Yeah, no, you don't.
We need your phone records and emails to protect you. We need your financial data to protect you. Yeah. Listen, at one point we have to stop and go, our liberty and freedom is worth far more than Big Brother coming in and saying they need to protect us. I got to tell you, there's a differential in age groups. I think some of us older folks that are getting gray hair get a little more freaked out about this. Some of the younger generations,
I have no idea.
They put
doing.
All their stuff up.
We had the story today. 60 Minutes had the report yesterday that there are these shadowy marketing companies that are getting all of our personal information every time we read a news report online, every time we take a poll online, every time we do anything online. Because we sign off on the terms and condition part of the website saying that we agree without reading the dang thing.
Yeah, and when
they're getting all of our information.
When you sign up online, it is as if you were out in the middle of a town square reading a newspaper, and anybody who wanted to come up and say, excuse me, what are you reading? Well, I'm reading this article right here, and this is where I found it, and this is why I'm interested in it, and here's the other article I just read. It's as if all of this information that you think is private is not, it's public domain.
But and better yet, and this one, I mean, I get apps on my phone and I just hit okay and I download it.
The Candy
and I don't
Crush
read,
player,
I don't read
aren't
the
you?
Disclosure. I read the disclosure one time.
Why?
I think I bought the Delta app.
Yeah.
But it's also for the Wells Fargo app.
Sure.
You're giving them permission. Read the disclosure, permission for your contacts, your email list to use them without your permission or consent after you hit okay. Your microphone, your camera. You give them access to all the information on your phone. It's frightening, and we don't read this stuff.
No.
And the kind of information and data we give on ourselves gives a lot of power to those who we might not want to actually have had.
So
anyway, we'll take our tinfoil hats off.
Would you trade the convenience of booking your flights online and doing all of that stuff online in order to protect yourself from that?
What I would want is to say, listen, let me still use the Delta app, but you don't need my contacts, my email, my microphone.
Mm-hmm.
And who knows? They can turn it on when you're not using the app.
Mm-hmm.
And now for Tom, that's really scary when they turn it on, what they might get.
I know.
Yeah.
I don't know.
But now that's so, yeah.
He's got an affinity for midgets that dress up, and I'm not exactly sure what that's all about.
Hey, I wasn't on Real World, man.
I want to make sure Tom has his privacy, but the rest of everyone else does, too.
Wow. And you got after me for playing the Monty Python Lumberjack song. Oh, good grief. All right, we're going to take our first break of the feedback program. When we come back, one of the things that I've talked about before, and I'd like to get your input, Sean, is the division in the GOP. There is a clear division between the traditional standard GOP and the Tea Party libertarian hard conservatives. And it seems that this rift is getting bigger and bigger and bigger. And the Democrats are going, fight each other, yell, scream. I'd like to get your opinion on it. Are you willing to take that on?
Absolutely. Game on.
All right. WSAU Wisconsin Morning News. Congressman Sean Duffy is our guest in the studio this morning. We'll be right back after this.
The news station, AM 550, FM 99.9, WSAU.
In the studio with us is Congressman Sean Duffy. All right. You haven't flip-flopped on anything. You're still a Republican, right? So hardcore? You familiar with Charlie Crist down in Florida?
I am. Not the biggest fan.
Oh, God. He was the governor when I was down there and was defeated, of course. He is the biggest flip-flopper. Starts out as a Republican. Then when he knows he's going to lose his butt in the election, he goes, oh, I'm an independent. Yay, independent. And then when he lost his butt there, finally his true colors come out and go, yeah, I'm a Democrat.
Well, he made the switch.
I'm a liberal Democrat.
When he was running against Marco Rubio, right?
Yep.
He saw he was losing to Marco. He went to independent.
Yeah.
Now he's switched. He's a Democrat running for governor. And
You
know more about Florida politics than I do. I hear he's doing fairly well down there.
Well,
which is frightening.
We'll see. He's got very little respect because of the changing his leopard changing spots, that type of thing. But the reason I bring that up and up is Mitch McConnell, in an interview recently was talking about his upcoming election. He is facing an opponent for his seat. Kentucky businessman Matt Bevin is coming out and saying, I'm the true conservative. I am, let's face it, the Tea Party type of mentality. Mitch McConnell came out and said, listen, not only is the GOP going to crush the Tea Party, but the Tea Party, libertarians, etc., are not going to get any elections during this midterm cycle at all. And I hear this coming from Mitch McConnell, who is supposedly supposed to be our GOP leadership in the Senate. And I'm seeing what is bothering me tremendously is a rift in the GOP between the good old boy status quo, we got to play the political game, and those that are saying we are sick and tired of corruption. We are sick and tired of government waste. We have got to do something to return to constitutional standards. Whether it's Tea Party, Libertarian, what do you want to call yourself? But I see that as true conservatism. I see a rift between Republicans and conservatives. Is it as bad on the Hill as I see it here?
First of all, I don't see the distinction as clearly as you do, and maybe Mitch McConnell is saying publicly. What is the Tea Party? I mean, the Tea Party has been a movement to say, we're going to fight to limit government. We're going to fight to decrease spending. We're going to work towards balancing
right.
our budget. It was a responsible, traditional, conservative movement that got really angry when the stimulus bill passed in 2009.
Mm-hmm.
Democrats had control of everything and had this massive push of government upon the American shore. That's what it was. And it still is that movement. Now, I think the disagreement that you, that McConnell references and that you see as well, is not about the ideas of where we go as a party and a movement. It's about the strategy. How do you actually accomplish these goals? How
okay.
do we get there?
Right.
And I have to, yes, there are some differences. If you look at South Carolina, in Georgia, in Texas Republicans,
mm-hmm.
and you compare them to the California and in the Northeast Republicans,
right.
yes, there is a difference. But in the end, they're all pushing to get to the same place. And
that's what I don't see. I don't see that, forgive me, I don't see Republicans wanting to get to the same space. I see Republicans vying to keep their jobs.
I would disagree with that because I see inside, and it's a strategy of saying, how do you win?
Mm-hmm.
And look at the environment, and I'm going to bring up something that I know I'm going to get a lot of backlash on, and I'm willing to take it. Because I was involved in the fight on the shutdown, right?
Mm-hmm.
And Ted Cruz, and I like Ted Cruz, and he's been a warrior and a fighter for conservative values.
Mm-hmm.
But he was out there running ads against not Democrats, but running ads against Republicans saying, we need to stand strong and we need to defund Obamacare. I agree with that. I think you agree with that. All
sure.
of us would agree with that premise. The problem is, the funding in Obamacare is not in discretionary spending, which is what we budget for every year. It's in mandatory spending, like Medicare, Social Security, interest on the debt.
Yep.
We can't access it unless we have the Senate and the president sign off on it.
Right.
But
it was designed like that on purpose.
On purpose. So he was telling America, you can defund Obamacare, right?
Yeah.
Well, that strategy, I knew, because I know how the system works, I knew that strategy wouldn't work. You couldn't do it unless Harry Reid signed off on it and the president signed off on it. In case in point, when the government shut down, by way of Harry Reid, by the way, but when it shut down, Obamacare just wasn't defunded. The whole government was defunded, and Obamacare continued to roll out,
mm-hmm.
which was my case in point. And so I think what we have to do is go. Our country hangs in the balance. If we're not effective as a team, whether you
mm-hmm.
call them Republicans, Tea Partiers, everyone in between, if we're not effective as a team, I think we're going to lose the heart and soul of the country. We have to come together as a family and a team and work together and figure out how we present a set of policies and ideas to the American people that go, I want these guys to lead
mm-hmm.
instead of the big government bureaucratic Democrats that we've had for the last 4 years. And that's why I think it's more not about where we want to go. It's more about how do we come together on a unified strategy to get there. And I think that's really where the debate is.
Well, it's going to have to come together because the I see it, and a lot of us see it, as a division in the GOP, that there is just this animosity toward the real, true conservatives, that you don't that the GOP does not want to have this upstart, these conservatives coming in and ruffling the show. They don't want it, and that's the perception. And you know as well as I do, perception is reality.
Well, I know that very well. But look, okay. I look at the House. I'm a House guy. We had a historic 2010 election where we have about a third of the conference.
Right.
And they're all, you know, a lot of young conservative men and women that came into the House. And no one runs roughshod over us.
Right.
We have an internal debate. We all get along really well. And we try to figure out what is the best way to move forward.
Mm-hmm.
And I think sometimes you get the person, you know, the members' internal politics back in their home districts. But I think it's less of an issue internally. I think it's a conversation that's happening externally, and it happens when you might have, you know, Ted Cruz on the right, and you have Mitch McConnell at the left, going out and throwing bombs at each other.
Yeah.
And what I say to them is,
Listen, both
of you, you're not destroying the country. The ones who are advocating these policies, who are not Republicans, but they're the Democrats.
Yeah.
They're the ones who are they're the ones who gave you Dodd-Frank. They're the ones that gave you Obamacare. They're the ones that have given us the massive debts and deficits. It's these people that we need to focus on if we're going to save our country. Stop fighting among yourselves.
Yep.
You have far more in common than you do with Harry Reid and his senators. And we have more in common as a House conference than you do with Nancy Pelosi and her team.
Yeah.
So let's listen, let's stick together, let's fight together, let's win together. And to do that, that means you got to start working against some of the Democrats. And I think it's a public family fight, and I think there needs to be some head knocking to go.
I agree with you.
Let's go after the real people who destroyed the country.
What's your schedule like? Do you have to take off, or can you stick around for the next the second half?
Yeah, if you're letting me stay, I'll stay.
Yeah, I'd love to, because there's another issue I wanted to get into about, and there's a PSA that is being run about, it's politically correct language run amok, and it's driving me nuts. But the other thing I wanted to get into was, and I would like to do it quickly, is the comment that Ann Coulter made in an interview over the weekend, basically saying that, A, the Democrats are proposing this massive immigration bill and amnesty because they want to flood the political, that they want to flood the voting with Democrat voters. That traditionally 80%+ of those that come into the country, Hispanic, Asian, etc., they come in and they are Democrat voters. And her theory is that it's being done on purpose to just overwhelm Republican voters and sweep Republicans out of office. Then the other thing she said is that if you support the amnesty, you're a traitor. And so I thought if you've got a second.
I'd love to talk about that.
Okay.
Let's start
when we get back. 715-845-2155. We're in the studio, of course, with Congressman Sean Duffy. We'll be right back after this. Don't go anywhere.
Feedback at 8, the Jerry Vayner Show at 9 on WSAU.